It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
No, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the 8-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guy.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny. On Getting Skinny.
Doctor.
Lee, good to see you again. Nice day again here in Atlanta, Georgia, July 15th, 2010.
Nice.
Another show with Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy where we make healthy living
fun for everyone.
Yes. So,
this is our second show, right?
That we've ever done? Yeah, exactly. We're new at this. So guess what? This past weekend, I took the kids whitewater rafting. Did
I
tell you this?
You told me you were going.
No, I did. I actually took the kids whitewater rafting up to the
Ocoee
River.
Tennessee.
And yeah, and it was, I got to tell you.
It was awesome.
It was so good. It was so good. And the thing that was great, it was really hot and the water was really cold.
Right.
You know how like here in Atlanta, you can never find cold water anywhere. Like every pool that you go into, it's like a bath. I hate that feeling. The water was so awesome. And the thing that's great about this whitewater rafting stuff is they scare the crap out of everybody.
Beforehand.
Before
right.
you go. They're like, did you read the forms?
Right.
You know.
And sign the waiver.
They
fit you into a body bag.
You know, right. They're like, they make it so that you don't want to fall out and it's right. dangerous and it's all this stuff. It was nothing.
Great.
It was so fantastic.
I know, it's fun.
I mean, but it was great for the kids. I love the fact they scared the kids like that. I think that was like the best part.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was in the front of the boat and they, you know, the front, of the two people in the front, they have to tell everybody, they have to set the pace, right?
Right.
So, my kids kept bumping into my paddles.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you had to whack them with the paddle?
Yeah. I'm like.
Was your wife there?
No, she didn't.
She's checking
it. Are you kidding me?
It was just you and the two boys?
No, me and the boys and then friends of the family, my friend Bob and his two kids. So it was perfect. We had the right amount of people.
So did you fill the raft or you had strangers also?
No, we all filled the raft and we had one guide. And you know, but the thing is, it was one of those things where when you look at the kids and they tell you to stroke, you know how they're doing that?
They're just
fake stroke.
Right.
I'm like, whoa. Cut. I go, don't do that. I go, yeah. I know you're not rowing. Let's go. You got to dig that thing in and you got to.
But that helps you stay in the boat by rowing.
Yeah, right. You have to kind of hit. And the thing is, they tell the guide. They're navigating. They're not doing anything.
Nah.
I think it's a free ride for them.
Yeah.
They're kind of like a.
They're the rudder.
Right.
That's all.
They're not really doing. I don't think they're really doing much.
Nah.
Yeah. So it was so much fun. The weather was beautiful. It was. You know, and there's one part of the river what you can do is you hop out of it, you hop out of the raft, and the water is so fast that you float down,
right.
And it was awesome.
Did anybody fall out?
You know what? We didn't lose anybody. But the thing that really, this is the only bad part.
They always lose somebody in the group.
Well, yeah, in the group. That's the thing. We went down with 9 rafts.
Right.
And the problem was is that at one point, we had to stop for like 15 minutes and wait for somebody. I mean, it was like 15 minutes in a raft on the side with the kids.
That's not good.
Oh, it was terrible. But we had a great time. It was a lot of fun. I highly recommend for families, fun. There's nothing better than going whitewater
rafting.
And
it's a workout. That's an upper body workout.
And look, there's nothing better than scare. You need to scare your kids a little
periodically.
Bit, don't you? You have to kind of scare them a little bit and let them know.
So they appreciate life a little bit.
Yeah. I think put them in dangerous situations every now and again is something that every parent needs to do to teach your kid about life lessons. So, so if anybody's interested in whitewater rafting, Atlanta is a great base to go from because you have the Chattooga, you have the Ocoee River, and there's all these other Indian rivers names that you really can't pronounce, but they're wonderful. They're great sites to go. And I think for each person, I think it was like 115. I thought it was 150, but it was like 115. I think 75 between that window to do this
well worth it.
I highly recommend everybody go out there and whitewater raft whenever you get a chance. You do anything this weekend? Anything fun?
No, but I read this great article. I think you'd be excited. It's now school systems are hiring coaches to help the kids during recess.
We'll have to talk to that.
Recess coaches.
Okay, we'll have to get that. I want to first bring on. I want to talk to our first guest. Then we'll talk about that story. But we have with us Bob Harper. You may have heard of him. He's on this little show on TV called Biggest Loser.
Yeah, right? I think he's Jillian Michaels' boyfriend, right?
No. He is one of America's best trainers. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. We've talked to some of the people from The Biggest Loser, and they say that Bob Harper, he's the guy. Like, everybody thinks that Jillian is the tough guy, but they say that Bob is really – he puts the screws down, and he's the one that makes everybody work. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Bob, now, first of all, with being on The Biggest Loser, can you go actually to a gym and have a workout on your own without getting harassed? Or what is it like for you to go work out? Is everybody like, hey, how do I get my arms bigger? What do I need to do? How can you train me? Is it a big nightmare for you?
I got to tell you, since the show's been on for such a long time now and people know who I am, I definitely get a lot of really nice people that want to come up to me all the time in the gym. And, I mean, there are times where I'm just like, you know, I just need to get my workout in before I go to work.
Do you have, like, a fake mustache? You have an outfit that you put on? Anything like a big hat or something?
Yeah, I need a hat. You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's they're mostly, like, really watching me, watching what I'm doing. And that's just, like, it creates a lot of pressure. I mean, can you imagine just, like, having those eyes just going, oh, what's he doing over there?
Right.
Let's, checking let's your watch form. This. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Let's check his form. Let's do this. And I just need to, like, have people just give me a break.
Well, Bob, now you know what it's like for a hot chick to go into a gym, right? Now you know if you're wearing a thong, like one of those little outfits, and you're right, now you know what that's like.
That's exactly what I've said before. I was like, I know what the hot girl feels like at the gym now. Everyone's staring at her. I'm like, but they're all staring at me for a different reason.
Yeah, you know what they're waiting for, Bob, is they're waiting for that the weights to fall off the side of the bar. You know, when you make that big clank noise and like, oh, look.
I think some of the trainers are waiting for a weight to fall on me so they can try to take my job.
Now, talking about The Biggest Loser, how did you get hooked up with it? How did you get started with it? What happened to you?
I'd been a fitness trainer in Los Angeles for, gosh, about over 12 years, and then I got a call. I did a lot of celebrities, and so I was pretty well known in Los Angeles. So when they were starting to cast for the show entitled The Biggest Loser, I got a call from NBC Casting having me come in. And at first, when I heard that name, I remember thinking, oh, I don't want to be a part of a show that seems like it's going to poke fun at overweight people.
Right.
But then when I went in and realized that it was going to be all about diet and exercise, I knew that this was the job for me. It was a long 6-week audition process, but then ended up getting the job, and the rest is history.
Now, did you have any aspirations of wanting to go on TV? Like, if you're training all these celebrities and stuff, like, how is that world where you're, like, with all these famous people, and then, like...
They're highly motivated, you know, in pretty good shape people.
Right.
It's a different animal to train.
But that whole world...
Actually, they're working with overweight people and working with celebrities needing to get their body to look a certain way for a movie. They have the same kind of mentality. I mean, my guys on the show, I mean, they come in extremely focused and they know what they want to achieve. So they have the same kind of drive. So there was a similarity in the mindset there.
Now, were you from L.A.? Did you grow up there? I mean, was this something?
No, I grew up on a cattle farm in Tennessee.
See, this is the way to go.
And I think it's funny that I'm a vegetarian.
This is the... You see, this is the way. If people want to become famous,
you got to move to Tennessee.
You can't start out in L.A.
No.
You have to come from Tennessee,
from the real world.
You got to come from. Yeah, I mean, I came from a farm. I'm telling you, I always laugh with my friends saying, the road that I grew up on was a gravel road.
Right, right. That's what you need. You can't come from L.A.
My road didn't have a name.
Yeah. Right. And you had to walk.
You ever played that, like, you know, what would your porn star name be?
You didn't
the name
have
of the road and your dog, your first dog. I'm like, I would be the porn star with one name.
Yeah. That's great.
You'd be like Gravel Rock Man.
Yeah. So how does your, Bob, how does your name, like, so what happens to you? You're sitting at home, like, you're training all these celebrities, and the phone rings, and it's some NBC casting guy? I mean, did somebody slip them your name? Oh, you're like, oh. You got to get
well,
Bob
he,
is
he
the guy.
He was known around town. He was training all the guys.
Yeah, I know he's known around town. But, like, so is this something, like, you're going, like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Who did you beat out? Who was the guy that came in second?
Yeah.
Well, let's make fun of him a little
was
bit.
Was it Tony Little? Who was it?
No, I mean, I know that guy. I know the guy, and I can't really – I can't.
You know
really
the guy
say.
That came in second?
I know the guy that came in.
How pissed is he? Is he like, is that guy like, is he in rehab right now? Because he can't, like, his whole life is like, he's still.
He's actually a very good trainer.
He is.
Yeah. Sure he is.
Not anymore. He's bummed out. Now forget about it.
He's back in Tennessee on some gravel road training people now.
But the funny thing about it is, it's like, it's karma. Yeah, I always tell people, you got to be careful. Careful with karma, because he definitely during that audition process, he definitely tried to trash my name a lot.
Right.
I'm like, sorry, dude.
Now, Bob, we've had on Ali Vincent, we've had on Pete Thomas, and everybody sees on TV that Jillian's yelling and screaming, and they see you kind of not in that same vein, but they tell me that you're the guy. You're the guy. You're like, you can't. No, that, nobody can talk to you about getting out of a workout, or they say that you're the tough guy.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when I go into the gym, every contestant knows, and anybody that's ever worked with me knows that I mean business. I'm not going to yell and scream and jump up and down normally, because A, I'm going to treat you with the respect that I need you to treat me with, and I'm kind of like that father figure that's going to tell you to do something once. Remember when your dad, you were a kid, and your dad said he needed you to do something, and he had that tone in his voice that you knew that you were not going to mess with him.
You knew there was a line. Yeah, the fat guy has that. He has that that line. What's the, give us that voice, Lee. What's that?
It's not a voice. I just hold a weapon. That's
it's a weapon with your kid. Paddle. It's the kid that listens to
I
the
go
weapon.
Old school with the paddle.
Yeah, you got to carry a big stick.
Right. I'm a little guy. You know, I'm not Bob Harper.
Now, Bob, tell us also about in terms of the people that have been on that show in the past, has anybody just you've wanted to take and just say, this person, forget about it. Get him off the show.
No, there's nobody, not for Bob.
Not for Bob.
No one's a lost cause. No lost causes.
I love that I just talk about myself in third person. Not for Bob. Bob. Not for Bob. But I will say that we all saw it on television when I had that big Joelle attack when she wasn't giving herself the credit. She was like really trying to just like stick in a comfort zone, and like that house is not comfortable. That house is one of the hardest places in the world, next to a Navy SEAL program. and you can't think that you can come in and try to skate by. And so,
right.
You know, it was tough. That was the only real tough time. But I always tell people, I'll do everything that I can for you, but if you're not ready to make any kind of change, there's nothing I can do. So let's not waste each other's time.
Now, what are some of the lessons that you kind of didn't expect when you got into this? Like when you were dealing with, you know, you're dealing
with gym.
Celebrities.
He can't go to the gym anymore. No, that's the lesson he learns. He had to buy his own new gym. He had to get a whole place for himself.
But it must have been totally different. I mean, you're coming from all the beautiful people, and now you're coming from these beautiful, large people. And, and you know, it's just a different world now. And what did you learn from them that maybe you didn't anticipate?
I'll tell you, that's a really good question, actually. I came into Biggest Loser knowing everything about diet and exercise, and it wasn't until I first started training my first team that my eyes were really awakened by really reaching someone on a completely personal level, talking to them about their relationship with food, how they perceive themselves. And then it was at that point that I really realized that it couldn't be about diet and exercise alone. It had to be about the overall quality of a person's life. And that has changed me like nothing else has. It's like I have become, I feel like I am one of the best trainers in the world because of the people that I've worked with. They have all made me who I am.
Yeah, that's great. That's
and I know that sounds like a Miss America answer, but let me tell you, it is the truth. I mean, every single contestant from the season, it's like, I have been changed and transformed because of what they've taught me.
Now, Bob, how is being around famous people, and now you are yourself, you're famous, how has dealing with the fame affected you in your daily life?
He has a nicer car.
Because I've never, because you had asked me earlier if I, you know, when I was working with these celebrities that were that are very high-profile people, like, I always saw what they had to deal with, and like, you know, of course, it's just it's the people that really love you that want to come up to you. But I never was really interested in that.
Right.
I was just like really interested in what my passion is, and what my passion is diet and exercise. And so all of a sudden, my career has kind of put me on this platform, which I welcome, because I still never lose sight of what I'm supposed to be doing. And every interview that I talk about, and every person that I talk to, it's all about doing my part to help in any way that I can with this obesity problem, with this epidemic that we are in the country, and now with our children. So it's like,
right,
I know that I've got a responsibility, and that's what I always hold on to. And then all the other great stuff, you know, the good tables and the nice people that are going to put me in the front of the line, you know, that's all cake.
Right, that's the good stuff. Now,
right,
how did you get into fitness, and what was the inspiration making this a career? What was, what made you pick this to get into? Because a lot of people think you can make a lot of money at it. You can only make a lot of money at it if you're you're on TV and you're training celebrities.
There you go.
That's a lot of money.
Well, I got to tell you, I was making a good living before I was on television with my clientele. But I think that I got into the business living in Nashville, Tennessee. I wasn't in the business. I couldn't afford to go to college. I was at a crossroads in my life, but I was living next door to this gym in Nashville, and I remember thinking, well, you know, I see these people coming in and out, and they're all sweaty, and they seem happy, and what's this word, endorphin, because I need to know about it.
Right.
So it's like, going in there, it was just like a light bulb went on. I was just thinking, oh, this is great. And all of a sudden, I started reading books, and I started working with other trainers and other group fitness people, and it just became like this snowball effect. And the next thing I realized, I was like, you know what, if I really am going to do this, let's move to Los Angeles. And so I packed up my little car, and I drove across country, the scariest thing I've ever done. And I really use that to show people, if there's something in your life that you're really afraid to do, chances are you should probably do it, because you're going to really learn something,
right,
a lot about yourself. So I always welcome the fear.
Wow, that's amazing, Lee. Got in.
Welcome
the
fear.
And
let's rob that bank this afternoon.
Yeah,
we've been talking about all
that kind of fear. That's just stupidity.
Now, tell us about your DVD that you have out. You have a Inside Out Method DVD series. Tell us a little bit about that. And
and what's with the My Trainer Bob? What's the angle there?
Yeah, he's your guy.
Everyone, I always have people since I've been on the show coming up. I wish you were my trainer. I'm like, well, I am your trainer. So it's just become like, you know, my trainer, Bob. Who's my trainer? My trainer's Bob. So it just kind of jumped on. And it was like during the time, too, when MySpace was really popular.
Gotcha.
So I just jumped on to that. But
what about Facebook Bob?
Facebook Bob.
Yeah.
Facebook.
You know what? I'm going to change it today, I guess. But wait, now I forgot the question.
No, it's about the DVD.
Oh, my DVDs, of course. Hello. Which is, you're talking about, and Jillian was just tweeting about this the other day. She's like, I just doing the Bob's new DVDs. It's way harder than the P90X, and Allison Sweeney just did it. You're gonna really see what I do, and it's like I throw people into the deep end of the pool, because I wanted it to be tough. I got really tired of seeing these DVDs out there that are like, do this for 5 minutes and you're gonna have the abs you've always wanted. I'm like, that's such a lie.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you have got to work your butt off
to
achieve the results that you want to be able to achieve, and that's what I did. And let me tell you, I got these people, my backup people in this, and I just said, okay, we're going to roll. We're not going to cut when I get sweaty or they get sweaty. And if they fall down, we're just going to keep going. And it's dark, it's raw, it's edgy, it's one of the hardest workouts out there. There's no DVD that compares with the look. It looks like something out of the Matrix.
Really?
Yeah, I'm real proud of it. I put a lot of effort into it.
So this isn't like the Pussycat Dolls workout, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like the Pussycat Dolls, like where there's lots of lights and flickering and tight
dancers. When we first started shooting this thing, I was like, I don't, because I'm not a colorful guy. I wear like, you know, monochromatic. I wear black, gray, and navy pretty much. And I was just like, that's what I said. I want it to look like this. I don't want those bright pastel colors. I don't want the bright lights. I want it to look like something that your husband or your wife would want to be able to try to do. And I think that I really achieved it because it's getting out there right now. It's about to hit into Target the end of the month, and then in October it's going to go out across Walmart's and all those all the other places.
And there's a series of them, right?
It's not just one DVD.
There's a bunch of them. There's four of them.
Oh, yeah, there's four. There's a strength one. It's called Pure Strength. There's a cardio rev. There's the yoga for the warrior. And then there's my workout. It's like people are always like, what do you do for your workout? So I put people through my workout. And it's really funny, actually, because I got this, like, ex-tennis pro athlete guy in the my workout, this guy named Zach. And let me tell you, he comes in. He's like, you know, I'm an athlete. I can handle this. I'm right. Like, great, here we go. And I just put him through my workout, and it was like all of a sudden, 15 minutes into it,
he's done.
He turns green.
you're like calling 911.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, and the director, like at one point, I'm even like, do we
keep
need to
going, keep going?
Power through.
He throws up. Keep going.
Power through.
Yeah, he loved it. He was like, no. This is all good. We want people to see how hard it is. I'm like, well, he's right. Gonna die.
Right. You're like performing CPR as part of the workout now, right?
Yeah. It's like these DVDs require a defibrillator.
Right. Call 911. You have to have an ambulance ready when you're doing the DVDs. That's great. I love that. Man, that sounds really exciting. Now
it's exciting. It's really intense too.
Now, you have four of them in a series. Do you have any ideas for more in the future?
Is there going to be a Wii game with this, you think? Or is this too intense for the Wii?
You know, I did a Biggest Loser Wii game.
Is it you with Jillian Michaels running on a beach? Because I got something in the mail. I got Jillian Michaels. I got a follower. She's running around on a beach in a Wii or something like that. Is that what it is?
She's always running with her pretty hair.
Yeah.
It's like she's either running with her pretty hair or she's pointing at you with those on those
with the arms,
on those,
right?
On those hills.
Right. Right. Exactly.
We've
had Jillian Lee. We had her on, didn't we,
yeah,
a while back? And I thought I think she's super hot. How is it working with her?
She's fabulous. It's like she's the one person in the business that I respect. We have a really great working relationship. I've been with her for gosh since season one, and I love what she does. It's like She's fantastic.
Now, did you know?
And she's also a really, really good friend of mine.
Now, did you know that this was going to take off when you first did it, your first season? You're like, you know.
Oh, I did. I remember being with. Here I am with this girl, Jillian Michaels, who I'd never ever met before, and we're stuck in this Hummer truck.
Oh, that sucks.
For like an hour and a half, waiting to like shoot this one shot of us pulling up and. And the two of us were trying to figure each other out. And I remember looking at her saying, this show's going to have legs. This show is going to reach out to a lot of people. And she's like, no, it's only going to be one season. This show's never going to make it. It's never going to work. And I'm like, just wait. And I still love rubbing that in her face. As she drives around in her, you know,
right,
in her big fancy car. I'm
right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
It worked.
That's great. Bob, what do you see yourself doing? You know, obviously The Biggest Loser, you know, I hope it's on for the next 20 years or so. But where do you see yourself going? And
action hero?
Yeah, you're going
to do any looking to cast for the Hulk
Stallone,
now.
Any I just saw the new Predators movie, and are you going to do any action, you know, Schwarzenegger, Stallone type of movies?
I got to tell you, I'm going to stick to what I know, and I'm going to stay working in the health industry. I really want to get into the talk show host world. That's my next big thing that I want to be able to achieve. I want to sit on daytime Monday through Friday with a guest with a group of people and just do what I can to reach out to even more people.
Now, what do you do in terms of what's your workouts like? When
you
wake up,
Bob, you
got to
buy the DVD. You got to buy the DVD.
No. I want to know what, you know, when you wake up, is the first thing, are you outdoor? Are you a runner? Are you a
kayaker?
Yeah,
I do. I like to run. I like to do a lot of interval training. I get up in the morning. Like when I get off the phone with you, I'm going to go right to the gym and get my workout in. I like to get it done in the morning. I'm not a big muscle guy. I have no interest in having like the big huge bodybuilder body. I've always liked staying on the leaner side, staying more athletic. I like being able to have a body to use. You know what I mean?
A useful body, Lee.
A useful
body.
Like when I see these guys that are just like these huge bodybuilders that are that are
can't pit their nose.
And they go up one flight of stairs. I'm like, really? How's that one? How's that one muscle in your body?
Right.
Going? That the one that really, really counts.
Right. Exactly. That's.
Do you have any thoughts about the you know, with the kids and childhood obesity? Is there anything that parents can be doing? You think?
Yeah, I was just talking about this the other day. I think that it is. We have such a problem that is just getting bigger and bigger with childhood obesity. And I think that there needs to be a call to arms for parents. Parents, their kids are overweight because their parents are overweight. You can't teach your kids to eat healthy if you're not doing it. So it's almost like I'm blaming the parents at this point. The parents need to be responsible parents and help their children in any way possible. And then the second thing that needs to happen is the school lunch programs. Something has got to give, because these kids that don't know how to use a fork and knife and don't know what vegetables look like and only eat pizza and French fries on a daily basis because they have that option. I mean, think about it. If you were a kid and you had the option of eating pizza and French fries every day, wouldn't you?
Right, right.
But kids don't need that kind of freedom when it comes to the food that they eat, because it is only damaging them.
Right, and also cutting out the PE and the recess is not a good idea.
No physical education anymore. It's like,
yeah, that's crazy.
It's so important to get kids moving around, because these little bodies, they want to be healthy, and it's like they're just being held back. And I read a statistic not too long ago that the average kid spends about 6 to 8 hours in front of some sort of electronic device,
and it's not the microwave.
Thinking, that's insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, listen. That's a good, you know, every person should probably get our new book, Bob. We have a book that's we just wrote, The Fat Guy, Dr. Fitness, The Fat Guy wrote, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. So we're big believers that kids today, what happens with kids is they don't eat, you know, the parents are so afraid of their kids getting abducted. The kids can't go out in the street and play. They can't meet with their friends anymore. Kids, they don't even know how to organize, to create, if they wanted to play Ringolario or if they wanted to play, you know, Capture the Flag. They don't know how to do this stuff anymore. So we wrote a book to try to get them to do that.
Good. So. Well, you know what? I hope everyone picks up that book.
We're going to send you one. I'm going to send you one personally to the America's best trainer, and I want to see what you think.
To get his take on it.
But now, tell us about your website, too. MyTrainerBob.com?
Yeah, MyTrainerBob.com.
That is
Bob Harper. Again, there I am in third person. I'm so fancy.
Now, do you do like guest appearances? Like if bar mitzvahs, weddings, you do any of that stuff? You show up and do push-ups and get everybody.
I got to tell you, that's been another part of my career that's really taken off. I do a lot of public speaking, motivational speaking across the country. It's something that I have a real passion for, because it's just like, it's really getting my hands on the people, you know, and I really like it. I like getting up there and talking. It's a lot of fun. You know, I'm never at a loss for words, I think.
Well, great. Well, we love the show. We think it's a great show. We love you. We love Jillian and the DVD series. And where's the best place for people to pick up the new DVD series?
They can go on to MyTrainerBob.com and pick them up right now, and they're going to be in Target in the next couple of days.
And what's the website for the DVD? Is it MyTrainerBobDVD.com? Is that another?
That's exactly what it is.
Perfect. Well, Bob, we really appreciate you coming on the show, taking time out of your schedule, and we wish you the best of luck in the future, and we'd love to have you back on the show.
Thanks. Anytime. I think you guys are great. I had a lot of fun talking with you, and I would be happy to do it anytime you want.
Take care, Bob. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
That is Bob Harper. He is the trainer for The Biggest Loser. Make sure you check him out at MyTrainerBob.com. Check out his new DVD series, MyTrainerBobDVD.com, as well. What a good guy.
Great guy.
I liked him.
Yeah.
I thought he was really cool. Good stuff. And down-to-earth guy, you know? Doesn't seem like...
He's from Tennessee.
Tennessee. I like that. When you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids. We haven't written the one about raising fat kids yet,
but you don't need our help for that.
Yeah, that one you can do on your own. But to raise active kids, read this book. Go to our website. Go to our site. Also, join our site and become a friend of ours on Facebook as well.
Yeah, we're always giving stuff away.
Tons of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
And also, it's a great place to request if there's somebody you want to hear us interview.
Right, because somebody wanted Bob Harper on, and we made it happen.
We made it happen. Somebody just also wanted to hear Jeff Galloway.
Really?
Yeah, the famous runner.
Yeah.
So he's coming on our show in September at some time. So please go to our website.
It's like magic.
Check us out. Absolutely. Now, Lee, you were talking about before we had Bob on, something about, what was that you're talking
right.
about?
There was an article that an elementary school in Oregon thought they needed a coach to help with recess because recess was getting a little crazy. The kids were just doing crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
So they hired somebody to help organize recess.
Organize recess?
Yes.
You're kidding me. You're yes. kidding me.
That, it's a coach, a recess coach.
Well, that's a good job.
That's a nice job.
On another job.
And now you got a pitch in kickball, right? And
right.
I think it's about $50,000 this person gets paid a year to coach recess.
I'll take that job.
You like that?
That sounds like a good job. What do you think?
It's because, you know, there was bullying and then they weren't including some of the kids and then, you know, there was uh-huh. and the problems that kids when you put a pile of kids together with what happened. So they needed to get a coach in there.
So is this a solution to the problem, or do you think we should teach our kids how to organize?
I think you should teach your kids how to organize. I think you'd be better served in the long run.
Man, it just amazes me. It just amazes me that that's the solution to the problem. Get a coach to that's not the right lesson to teach.
Crazy.
You know, there was an article I was reading about vacationing. Did you see it in the New Week magazine? Did you see that article
no.
on the back page?
No.
Oh, it's a great article about it was about how we spend our time vacationing. And what's the best way to get the most out of our vacation?
Right.
From a psychological standpoint. Like they've done studies.
So what's the best way?
Well, what they said is that obviously shorter vacations are better. Like if you take more frequent shorter vacations than one long one, that's better. It's always – and also the main thing that you have to do with vacations is you have to do different things. You have to create – different stimulus, not doing the same thing
every day,
over
right.
and over and over again. They said also it's important that if you do something exciting at the end of the vacation, it's more memorable.
Than if you do it at the beginning?
And it seems more fulfilling if something's done towards the end of it rather than at the beginning of it. There's some fascinating
stuff.
That's
a good dating tip, too.
Yeah, right. But they also said interruptions in your trip, which I don't really
what
understand.
What are interruptions?
I don't know. Like if it's cut short for some reason and
right.
then you return back to it.
That's good.
That's good.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't understand that at all. I didn't understand why that was. But apparently that was one of the reasons. But, you know, I think it's fascinating that that there's a science now that we have to learn about.
We
how
need
to
a lot of help.
Ourselves.
We need a lot of help.
How do we enjoy ourselves on vacation?
Stop thinking.
You can't just go on a vacation no. anymore to enjoy it. You have to somehow.
I think you need a vacation coach. You need a vacation coach to kind of give you the tips to help you through it because it's not that simple.
Yeah, vacation is really important. I think everybody needs to take one, and I don't think you have this one. Let me give this to you. Yeah. So anyway, but it's a fascinating article. It's in The Week, one of my favorite magazines. It was written by a guy called Drake Bennett. It was an excerpt from the Boston Globe. It's called The Perfect Vacation, How Science Can Help You Make the Most of Your Precious Time Off. And they look at a lot of psychological studies that were done on people and certain experiences, and it kind of reinforces a lot of the data that that they were talking about. And so great stuff. And Lee, I also was talking to Nikki Miko not too long ago. And Nikki Miko from Eating Well magazine gave me a tip on I had a question about making half sour pickles. So she gave me a recipe, and I'm going to actually implement it this coming week.
You're going
to
try it?
I'm going to try to make half sour pickles, the ones that you get at the New York style delis.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you know. Also, we have some great recipes on our website. Go to our website and check them out. I don't know if they're great.
They're okay.
They're okay.
They're not Eating Well magazine recipes.
They're popular. They're something that's very popular with us. So, we'll try to figure it. We'll try to. I'll let you know how my half sour pickles come out. Okay, I want to bring on our next guest. I'm real excited to talk to Faraday Baucham. She is.
Did he say your name right?
Faraday, did I get it right?
No, he didn't.
Yes,
he
did. First of all, you have a very inspirational story. It was so inspirational that Good Housekeeping put you on the cover of their magazine. And you walk in here, and I'm thinking you're some supermodel. I'm thinking that you're from, like, Elite or Ford. But you've recently lost 44 pounds and had a real traumatic experience with your family that was the inspiration of losing this weight? First of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here in the studio. And you drove a long way to get here, right? Right up the street.
From Tennessee, from Bob's Old Farm.
From Bob's Old Farm.
The dirt road.
Yeah, right up the street. You're actually from Georgia.
Yes.
How did, first of all, tell us a little about your story. And then I want to find out how you got hooked up with Good Housekeeping.
Okay, well, I live near Athens with my husband. And I've
Not Greece.
It's no. Okay. The only Athens there is, the home of the University of Georgia.
Is that where you guys,
actually, we're high school sweethearts, but I'm a UGA alum and
he's not, but he
and you stuck with them after you went to UGA and he was still there. And
where did
what a great story.
Did he go to like Florida, another SEC team?
Oh, no. I wouldn't have married him if that were the case.
You know, you have such a smile on your face when you talk about your husband. That's amazing. You see that grin that comes across her face?
Imagine that.
From a high school sweetheart.
Can you relate to that?
What's that like?
So anyway, we have two little girls. Brinley is 5 and Braylon will be 4 in September.
Wow.
And I was a high school teacher for 5 years and now I stay at home with our girls. And I started my fitness journey 2.5 years ago, January 2008. You know, that Monday right after January 1st when everyone decides that this is it. They're going to
But most people quit like a week later.
Yeah. Right. Well, my best friend Lindsay called me up and said, "Hey, I think I'm going to go to Weight Watchers. Do you want to come with me?" And I said, "All right, I'll go." No,
you weren't offended that she's saying you're fat.
Oh no, because you know she had just had her first baby, and
she was looking for support.
She wasn't necessarily looking at you, and we're best friends, and she knew that I was bigger and probably could lose some weight. So. I was never a person who was obsessed with the scale or numbers or if my clothes didn't fit, I just bought bigger clothes.
That's how I was.
And, so I started Weight Watchers and something happened that night at the meeting. I had a light bulb moment and I decided I'm going to do this. I'm going to, start going to the gym that I've been paying for a year and never went to.
Now you're going to start using it. So you said you had this moment at this meeting. Do you remember exactly what it was that was said to you or what clicked on that said, "I'm going to do this"?
I don't remember exactly what was said, but my Weight Watchers leader, Jan, is amazing. She is just really motivating and does a lot of little extra fun things in her meetings. And I don't know. I just decided I've got to change now. And at the time, I guess I was 28. And, you know, it gets harder as you get older. And I wanted to. So, that was it.
But also, something happened in your private life with your mom.
Yes.
Was there a reason behind gaining the weight that you felt that, the extra weight that you put on?
Well, you know how like Bob was saying, working with people, meeting people, talking to people, it's never just all about the food. There is some reason usually that caused people to gain weight. And I think this underlying issue that I had to work through was this anger and hurt that happened for my mom. On Thanksgiving Day 2001, I got a phone call. My mom had decided to take a trip with a friend of hers, a male friend. And I actually did not want her to go. It's Thanksgiving, Mom, please don't go. And I also knew in the back of my head, you know, she kind of deserves a little getaway. So,
right.
She went, and then I get a phone call from my uncle Thanksgiving night saying, "Your mother is in the hospital in Tallahassee Memorial ICU, and she's paralyzed from her neck down."
What a terrible phone call.
And it was awful. And
what happened? What was she? What happened?
They had gotten into an argument, and he drug her or pulled her off of the bed and wrapped her into a ball and came crashing down on her with all of his body weight. And she heard a loud pop and her body just went numb, and he refused to get help for her. And she laid there for a couple of hours, you know, just pleading with him to please call for help.
Oh my God.
And, at the time I wasn't married, but again, my husband and I, we were together and he and my sister, we just got straight in the car, drove straight down, slept on the floor of the hospital. And it was a long road to get her here. I mean, she ended up at Shepherd Center Atlanta, which is a great place.
Right.
And then she went to a couple other rehab places, one in Warm Springs. And just dealing with that, it just was, you know.
So you had maintained your weight, and then all of a sudden this traumatic event happened, started gradually gaining weight from this?
Right. Well, the weight that I am now and the shape that my body is, I've never been this way. I'm smaller and more fit now than I have ever been, even in high school.
Wow.
I was never a small person. I mean, when I got married, I was probably in the 160s, and I'm 5'9", so that's not terrible. But as far as what size I am and the number on the scale, my body fat percentage and all those things that matter,
right.
I'm in the best shape ever. So I was in okay shape, and then after that was my first year of teaching, and then that happened to Mom, and then Alan and I got married in 2002. Then we started having kids a couple years later. It was just a spiraling effect, and just my mom and I, our relationship, you know, it was just really stressful. It's hard. It kind of rips your family apart. No one was helping us, and you know,
and now it's like having another child, because now you have to.
And she lives with us. She has her own little apartment in our basement, and she's pretty independent based on her injury. She does have full use of her arms and her hands, which is a blessing, but you know, there are things that she still needs help with. So, you know, usually when you're older in life, you're prepared to maybe help your parents out and have them come live with you, but
you weren't
not
prepared.
when you're 23 and, or, you know, I mean, she's been living with us for a few years now, so.
Right.
But it's great now. I mean, we get to see her every day and the kids are there, you know.
Sure. So now, how did you get set up with Good Housekeeping? How did this happen?
Well, my Weight Watchers.
Someone must have seen you and go, oh, we got to get her in a magazine.
No, I mean, it's just, this is just the coolest, amazing journey. I mean, I'm just a normal, regular stay-at-home mom, and I ended up on the cover of a magazine. But I entered in a contest for Weight Watchers last July. My Weight Watchers leader, Jane, asked me to enter in, so I did.
Like, is it like for money? Like, do you win
no,
stuff?
You
they
want
do this,
prizes.
They do this often, right?
Like, I think
they
have so.
Inspirational
stories? It was inspirational stories. They were looking for like 6 people, and you were going to be on the cover of the Weight Watchers magazine, and they did a spread or whatever. So
Like a pinup, like a
no.
like a centerfold,
like a centerfold thing, like one of those.
Not in the Weight Watchers magazine.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Gosh, now I can't even think. So I didn't get picked for that, but
you got picked for Good Housekeeping,
right?
Which
well,
the bigger one you got picked for.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe they knew that my story was that good, but they didn't even know about my mom. That was not the story. My story was, you know, in 100 words or less, tell us your weight loss story. So there wasn't really,
there's
I couldn't
not enough
really
room.
Say a lot.
Right.
Yeah. So I just kind of did the nuts and bolts story and sent in a before and after picture. And then about October of last year, I got a phone call from Lisa Craig, who's a PR person with Weight Watchers. And she said, hey, we love your story. We love your pictures. Would it be okay if we submit your stuff to some various media outlets? We get requests time to time. I said, sure, no problem. And then
did you think of anything at that time?
Well,
because when they say that, they're not.
She had mentioned. Well, she did mention the AJC, you know, which we all love here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then she had mentioned Good Housekeeping. I was like, Good Housekeeping. I mean, you know, what is? I don't understand. But anyway, in December, I was contacted with Lisa and Good Housekeeping, saying we love Faraday. We, you know, blah 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 blah. We wanted to, you know, we want to hear more about her. We want to see more of her. And then I didn't hear anything in January, and I just assumed because it's the new year and lots of weight loss stories or whatever. And then finally in February, Annie Daly, who's one of the assistant editors from Good Housekeeping, started calling me, and we would talk, and then we'd talk more.
She didn't say, oh, you're in the magazine? She would just talk
to
you?
No, it was just talking. It was kind of like a therapy session for me. And the stuff about my mom didn't even come out to the end. It was just me telling her about Weight Watchers and my best friend Lindsay and the la la. And then they wanted to see lots of before and after pictures, which honestly, my worst pictures, I don't have those. I deleted those. You know, we don't keep those anymore.
Why would you keep those?
Yeah. And they were very specific. They wanted pictures, you know, front facing, not turned sideways, with no sunglasses on, with no one else in the picture. I'm like, well, I don't have any other pictures to show. And certainly none in a bathing suit.
Right. That's what they were looking for, a bathing suit?
Well, they want, you know, the worse you look, the worse you look. Yeah.
Right,
they want to see the big transformation. So found out in early March that I had made it through the first round, and I said,
you didn't even know there were rounds.
I didn't even know there were rounds. Didn't really know what I was competing for. I knew it was a weight loss changed my life story. I knew that much. And then mid-March, okay, well, congratulations, we're going to do the photo shoot. And I thought, for sure, we just come to Atlanta and shoot some pictures, and that would be it, because why would they fly me to New York?
Right.
You know. And no,
they flew you to New York.
They flew. They paid
the whole
for
VIP.
My,
yes. You and the family. Everybody.
They flew. They included my
or
oldest,
Lindsay, Leo, and Lindsay.
No. I wish. But they flew my daughter Brinley, who's my oldest daughter, because they included her in the shoot. I was kind of bummed they didn't include both girls, but the photographer felt that Braylon was too young. So anyway, they paid for Brinley and I, and then we had to pay for Alan and Braylon. But right. It was okay. I mean, I wasn't going to leave them at home. This was an amazing experience.
But how tough was it going to New York and eating all the food there?
Had you ever been there before?
To do a photo shoot.
Alan and I took a spontaneous little trip to New York right after we graduated high school just for the day. We didn't even stay overnight because back then you could fly AirTran standby
right.
for like $40 right. if you were right. under 24. Right. So we're like, hey, let's go to New York. So that's what we did. We rode the little double-decker bus and came home.
Right.
And so, no, this was actually my first real trip. And so we went March, like, 23rd. We stayed for 5 days in Times
Gained
Square.
Gained 20 pounds in five days.
You know, the thing is, we flew into New York on Tuesday, and the photo shoot wasn't until Thursday. So I really
That's brutal.
That photo shoot should have been Monday.
Yeah, I told him, I said, as soon as the shoot is over, I want New York pizza. I want cheesecake. I want a hot dog from the street. I want it all.
Right, you want it all.
And my husband was so sweet. He did. He bought me a whole pizza for myself right after the shoot. And I can only eat one piece.
Anyway, that's great.
Yeah, it was an amazing trip. My kids, I was nervous about bringing them to New York because I thought, what are we going to do?
Right.
It's a great trip for kids.
Yeah,
and there
is
so much to do. We went to FAO Schwartz probably 5 times. Right. Yeah. I mean,
you could spend the day there.
Yeah, we really did. And then, you know.
Yeah, the fat guy and I, when we go to New York, it's we actually lose weight because
we walk everywhere.
Oh, it's like
amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
We must have walked about 4 miles the last couple of days just to get a meal.
Oh, wow.
Looking for the best pizza place in the city. But
isn't that interesting that people like that live in the suburban environment, they don't realize that when you're in an urban setting like that, you walk a ton.
Totally different. And right. It amazed me. It doesn't matter what time of day or night.
It's packed with people.
Everybody is going somewhere. Where are they going?
I don't know. But there's action.
And the girls loved it. I mean, all the taxis and
they
the
like
honking.
It, right.
I mean, it
Excitement.
Says honking. Like
and the
honk
lights,
three.
All the
yeah,
billboards.
The lights.
Yeah,
we can
Times
lay
Square.
In bed and see the lights every night from Times Square. So
right.
It was the coolest thing. I mean, we had a great experience.
What were some of the things in terms of the nuts and bolts of things that you had to do to lose weight?
Like your lifestyle change.
What were the things that had to happen
you have to get rid of and
to lose 44 pounds?
Well, I think the main thing was getting a hold of the nutrition aspect of it. I think I've heard statistics that say, you know, if you want to lose weight and you want to get in shape, 70 or 80% of it is nutrition. I don't know if that's accurate, but I truly feel that it is. I mean,
now was this, you didn't feel that you had the knowledge or
was
this just?
Yeah, I think for me, my main problem was portion control. Mm-hmm. I had gotten used to eating such large portions. So that's what my body felt like. That's what I needed
to
eat.
And as a guy, I find that very attractive in a female. Every girl I ever met, I never see them eat. They just pick at it. And they pick at it. It's like that's not attractive. Mm-hmm. I want a girl that sits down and
they can hold that
food.
Big slice of pizza in their hand.
And eat the whole thing.
With the oil dripping down
their hand.
You never dated me. I didn't really eat that much, but I like to eat, and I love sweets, and that's my
downfall. So what would be a tip to control your portions?
That
work for you?
Well, first of all, I could talk about Weight Watchers a little bit. That's okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Weight Watchers puts it in
points.
People say
points,
and points can be overwhelming and confusing at first, but I think that it's a start because you might not pay attention to calories, but the way they calculate the points is.
Listen, Faraday, the fat guy knows all about the points system. Yeah. He was on it.
You did?
He was like Kobe Bryant, right?
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
34 points a day.
I put up 50, 60 points a night. I was the Wilt Chamberlain of Weight Watchers. I think I got 100 points.
Right.
100 points.
He knows all about points.
Well, I mean, it's just so interesting because they put it in calories and fat and fiber. Okay, well, then I punched it in my little calculator and boom, there's my points. And if you know how to budget, which kind of most people do, then you can't eat more than what this says. So what you've got to do is you can eat the same kind of foods you were eating. You just have to make better choices.
Right.
And you can eat anything you want to eat. You're just going to have to take it from somewhere else later on in the week or the day or whatever. So that's right. What I love is the flexibility. It works for me. It might not work for everyone else, right. But it works for me. And
now, how do you deal with like going out to a restaurant? Because that's always a challenge. Like you go,
right.
You know, like in your house or you're buying a Weight Watchers meal, like you know exactly the points.
Exactly.
But then you go to a restaurant and they put something in front of you and now all of a sudden you're doing your own math here.
Exactly.
You know, you're trying to figure out the portion size, who knows what was in there. You know, you don't have that. So how do you manage like going out to eat?
Well, one of the first things I learned about in the beginning of Weight Watchers was this website called, well, of course, Weight Watchers has a dining out guide.
Calorie.
They have some things that the points are in there, mm-hmm. but there's a Dottie's Weight Loss Zone, DWLZ, I think, .com. And it's just a lady and people contribute. And basically all these people will figure out the nutrition information and calculate it into points for you. So if I were going out to a certain restaurant, I would look up the restaurant and try and determine what the points would be. I mean, I remember one time I went to an Italian restaurant and there was an entree that I wanted. It was going to be 26 points. So I just figured, you know, I'll just, as soon as it
you
comes to
the
table.
You just want to eat for the next 2 days.
Well, I got a box. As soon as the waitress came, I immediately asked for
right,
a box.
That's a great strategy.
Put it in
right.
half. And
so
then,
you know, it's away from you. You
and
know,
eating
you
can't, yeah, and eating 13 points for dinner was not horrible. It was, on
right,
average,
manageable.
That was okay. Yeah.
Right.
So then I just saved the rest of it for another day or gave it to my husband or whatever. I had to do that so that I wouldn't eat, you know, more than I should have.
It's a great strategy.
Yeah. And then, yeah. of course, basic things like, you know, ask for things grilled or not fried or don't add the oil or, you know, I even went to a Mexican restaurant recently and they said
really?
Instead of sizzling or frying the fajitas, whatever they do, they could steam it and it still would be. And it was actually pretty good.
It was
right.
pretty good. Now,
yeah.
is your husband also really supportive? Did he have to lose any weight with you? Did
he
lose
fat?
Any weight?
Is he fat?
My husband
he's
was.
Fat.
No,
yep,
he is not
fat.
Fat, but he's the guy who was the athlete in high school who is
now
no longer
fat.
The athlete.
Yep,
he's
that
not
means he's fat.
Fat.
He's not. That's just, see how loving she is?
I know, man.
She still thinks of him as the athlete in high school.
You know what? He just ran his first Peachtree and he did great.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we ran it together this year. I think. He would never admit to it, but he's changing his lifestyle. Too.
So he has problems with portion control too. With
of course, don't all
yeah,
guys?
I think, especially athletes when they're no longer athletes
yeah.
anymore,
because you're not working out anywhere near as where
right.
you did.
And you still eat like you.
But you know, it's the craziest thing, and it's so frustrating because he could go to the gym once a week, and or you know, just cut out beer from his diet or whatever.
Let's
and
not get carried away.
You know, and I'm just saying,
right. You don't have to go to extremes.
Now, what about the kids? Are the kids, do you have, do you raise
they're
them
little.
Active?
Are oh,
they...
the kids are great. I'm so excited.
What are their ages?
I love that you are writing this book too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's become a passion of mine. So.
What are their ages? What are your kids' ages?
Brinley is 5. Got 2 little girls. Brinley's 5, just turned 5, and Braylon will be 4. I mean, so they're 17 months apart. They're pretty close.
Okay,
in age.
So you're cool. just and almost ready for them
Perfect.
To raise active
Perfect.
Kids.
Yes.
Perfect timely.
And you know, it's I'm not like crazy obsessive about it, like exercising, working out, but they do go to the gym with me. Our gym is great and they have a little kids play area and the kids dance or play around or they've added some kids Zumba classes on Friday morning.
Right.
So, I mean, they see how important
right.
working out is
right.
to
well,
mommy
if
and they
you,
don't mind.
Yeah, you just integrate it in your normal life. They just think that's normal.
Right.
They don't know.
Exactly. So when we go to Stowe Mountain and we climb the mountain
that's
or
the,
we...
That's a big mountain here in Atlanta for our listeners in
all
Spain,
over, right.
Barcelona and Australia.
Yeah. The rock.
That the big rock. Now, so are you still teaching?
No, I stay at home now.
Stay at home.
I'm about to start my 5th year at home. Yeah.
Are you, so has this changed you in a way that you would like to try to pursue more fitness related stuff or modeling or doing stuff like in the fitness?
What's with you in modeling? You want to be your agent?
I need an agent.
No, listen.
I need some money. I'm famous, but I'm
listen,
not rich.
Jennifer Nicole Lee has nothing on her.
Right.
Right?
That's for sure.
I mean,
do you know Jennifer Nicole Lee?
We had, there was a.
She,
you'll see her on TV.
She was
has
on
this,
Oprah. She had, she gained. She had lost 70 pounds after a pregnancy.
Right.
And then won some Miss Bikini America contest.
And got on Oprah.
And then got on Oprah. Mm. And then now she has a whole infomercial and doing all kinds of
oh,
stuff.
Wow.
I see that for you.
And you
thank
you got a shot at that.
Thank you.
So,
well, I have I don't know what's going to come of it. I'm hoping that something will come of it.
But you got to do it. You can't wait for someone.
Oh, listen I'm to you. Waiting. You can't wait. Are you asking me if I want to do or be your agent? Now you're saying she got
to
do it?
I'm trying to be inspirational. I'm not going to actually do the work.
Oh, now you're creating another inspirational story for her? She just has an inspirational story.
I'm taking
that
to
be
a
enough?
New level.
Thank boy, you. Boy. That's the agent I need.
See that?
No, well, I do have an open call modeling thing coming up in a couple weeks.
You see that?
But
does Dr. Fitness know? You know. Or does Dr. Fitness
but I don't know?
Know.
I don't know what's going to come of it. I hope that something would. And if I could incorporate fitness into that.
That'd
so
be
far, I've just spoken to some
groups
around
right.
town or whatever, which I love. I love to share my story. So thanks for having me.
Well, Faraday, we really appreciate you coming on. And it's a great story. You look fantastic. 44 pounds gone and great information.
That's like a fifth grader. Right. How 44 was that? First grader?
No.
My daughter was 44 pounds when we did the shot, so that's why they included her. Because I lost, and that's what she weighs.
So she was, what, 4?
She was 4, almost 5. So 4 or 5,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show. And the best place, the only time you can see Faraday is on eBay, right? The magazine is.
That's where you get the magazine.
Good Housekeeping.
Right. It was the June issue, so it was on stands from about May 11th to June 11th. So,
well,
yeah.
you got to send us a copy of the article. We at least want to see it.
I
so
will.
we can post it maybe
and,
on our
and you
Facebook
should go to
page.
weightwatchers.com to get information about a Weight Watchers
go to Weight
program
Watchers.com.
In your
right.
area.
Absolutely. And we really appreciate coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. I had a great time.
Thank you. That's weightwatchers.com. Check out more inspirational stories. And when you're online, check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Go to our Facebook page. Sign up.
Be our friend.
Faraday, we want you to be our friend. Tell all your friends to be our friend.
I will.
Do you think Bob Harper will be our friend on Facebook?
Maybe not. I'll send him a book. You better if I send him a book.
Yeah, he owes us for that.
And we really appreciate him coming on the show. Faraday Balcom for coming on the show today. Check out Bob Harper at my fitnesstrainerbob.com. Check out
that's too many words.
It's not that. It's not my fitness trainer.
My trainer Bob.
Yeah, my trainer Bob. Faraday, you want a job here? Faraday?
Yeah, really. Watch it.
Are you
my trainer
me?
Bob. No, we can't. We don't even pay ourselves. My trainer Bob DVD, his new DVD series. Go to that website and also mytrainerbob.com as well. And check out more inspirational stories about Weight Watchers at weightwatchers.com. Lee, that is it today. Our buddy Biggs, he's in Japan.
Oh, allegedly.
Allegedly
he's
in Japan.
Probably in Brooklyn.
Nah, I don't know. What's the time difference between here and Japan?
I don't want to hear excuses.
You don't give him a break?
Bob Harper called. He made it.
And he's on the
he's
Biggest
way more
loser.
Famous than John.
Well, anyway, I want to thank our guests for coming on today. For Lee Cantor, I am Dr. Shaffron.
Dr. Shaffron.
I'm Dr. Shaffron.
No first names
Bob,
here.
Right?
We're very formal.
I am Adam Shaffron. For Lee Cantor, I am Dr. Adam Shaffron. We are Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. We make healthy living fun for everyone. You missed the call there, Lee.
And I'm for everyone. That's my part. We'll You're see. The fun part.
That's right. Well, should we do that again?
Yeah.
For Lee Cantor, I am Dr. Adam Shaffron. We'll see you next week. We make healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time. Take care.